Glad to be down here at Lakeview Church again. I keep telling everybody where I'm supposed to be preaching at, down here, and I always confuse it with Lakeside. There's a group that sings called Lakeside, and I think that's where I'm getting that at, but that's where I keep thinking. It's either Lakeside or Lakeview, I tell everybody. And so I thought I might have passed it up when I was coming down here because I forgot it was past the Mineral Springs churches. But thanks be unto the Lord, He's my GPS, and He got me here this morning, and I'm glad for that. I've had some scripture on my heart for the past, about a month ago, since you've seen me at Peachtree down there where I teach guitar, and asked me to come preach for you. And ever since then, this scripture has been on my heart, and I thought for sure that I might be preaching it somewhere else, but I've always seen it to be in a message for this church. And just pray for me this morning, doing the best I can. And, you know, this message is a powerful message if the Lord will allow it to be so. And especially during this time of year, you know, we have Christmas, the baby Jesus, the Christ child. And, amen, what we know Him to be, the Savior of the world. And a lot of times we don't realize, you know, like we said this morning in Sunday school, the last half of the prophecy about the virgin conception is that He has a kingdom coming, amen, and He's going to establish it, and of His rule and reign there shall be no end. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, they see the little baby in the manger and they think how cute, they think how precious and how loving,
amen,
but He is a King of kings and Lord of lords, amen. He has all power and authority this morning. If the Lord be my helper, that's what we're going to preach on this morning. If you got your Bibles, the best place I know where to start is over in Ephesians. Been reading in Ephesians quite a bit lately, and this verse just keeps standing out at me. And we're going to kind of start in the middle a little bit. It's going to start with an incomplete sentence. You people that know grammar a lot know that it's not right to start a sentence with and or any of the other things if you don't have a complete thought. But I'll trust that you'll go home and study the rest of this, because I had to read a lot to get into where I'm trying to get to right now. So for now, we're just going to have to cast aside the rules of grammar and start on an incomplete thought. Amen. But the thought will come together as we continue to go. So Ephesians chapter 1, let's start at verse 19 and read on down. And I've got another place to go to if the Lord will let me. We'll try to do our best to bring this out. And hopefully, you know, Paul said we preach not with man's words of enticing wisdom, amen, but with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that today, that the words that come out of my mouth today will be through the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm just a vessel. I think of John a lot of times. John the Baptist, we talked about this morning. He said when he was preparing the way of the Lord, he said, I must decrease so that He can increase. And I want that to be me today. I want to be decreased so that God can use me, amen, and increase in me. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Just that alone you could preach on from here to eternity, amen. Not just the greatness. I want you to notice the author here, Brother Paul, he said, what is the exceeding greatness? Amen. He uses that word again later on in chapter 3, verse 21, I believe it is, where he says that He is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. I'm glad for His mighty power. Who's His power to? To usward who believe.
Amen.
According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's His demonstration of His ultimate power, is that He raised Christ from the dead. Just like He said He would. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the key verse right there.
Amen.
And hath put all things under His feet.
True.
And gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body.
Amen.
The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, verse 21 is the key place that I want us to focus our attention on. It says that Christ was far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. We know that the verse says that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. Do we see in Acts 4:12 that there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved? than that of the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. Every other name in the world, Buddha, Muhammad, all the rest of the gods that we hear about in the today's society, as well as all the gods that they had back then, Baal and Ashtaroth and all them other gods that they served, they are under the name of Jesus Christ today. He has been placed far above all principality and power. And those two words should sound familiar to you. If you'll turn over to chapter 6, hey, and go down to about verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, listen to this, but against principalities and powers. That's in two words we just used there.
Amen.
But we wrestle against principalities and powers, but what did we just read? That Christ is far above, not just a little bit above, He is far above, exceeding above, all principalities and powers. Either in heaven or in earth, Christ is above them all.
Amen.
And this has really just stood out to me the last couple of weeks. I've been wandering around with this. It's wonderful to know if we just have Christ in His right context, and if we realize that who Christ really is, amen, everything in this world seems to be less than a grain of sand to what we're dropping in the bucket to compare to what Christ can do in our life.
Amen.
I believe it was Paul who talked about that the afflictions, our light afflictions, he called it, are nothing to be compared how with the eternal weight of glory,
amen,
which we're going to receive one day after a while. Because Christ is far above all these principalities, all these powers that we wrestle against, everything that goes on in our daily life, He is above all that. Amen, we are to place our trust in Him, amen, because He, amen, is the supreme ruler, supreme authority, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
He's above every dominion, every power, principality, might, every name. Not only in this world, that which is to come.
Amen.
See, we talked about a kingdom which is to come. Those things which are to come, you know, the heavenly kingdom that's going to come down from God out of heaven and establish itself on the earth in New Jerusalem. Amen. He's going to be far above all principalities in that place in which is to come. Amen. He said He'll rule with the rod of iron. Amen. There won't be no worry about what kind of laws are going to be passed, what kind of laws are going to be trodden upon. Amen. Because Christ is going to be supreme authority in that land. Turn over with me, if you will, to the second scripture that's really on my heart about this matter. And that's Colossians. I'm going to start with 14 because I like that the King James Version leaves this verse in there. Amen. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That, all the other versions take that part out. They take the blood out. Okay? Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if there is no shedding of blood in that verse, then that whole book is null and void. And they take it out. That's why I stand on the King James Bible. They leave it in. They want to pick it apart. And three times in the Bible, in the beginning, middle, and end, it says not to add to nor take away from the words of this book.
Amen.
But that's another sermon for another day. But it says here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Christ, the firstborn of every creature. Notice this. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Skip over to chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, Christ was 100% man, and He was 100% God.
Amen.
In His flesh. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Boy, that word just seems to crop up a lot in these verses here. I'm glad today that I can find myself complete in Christ. Head of all principality and power. You people, especially this time of the year, people are out there searching for something. They don't know what it is. There's a void in their hearts. And they're out there searching for something. They think presents will do it. They think gathering around the family will do it. They think putting up decorations will do it. Hey, they think, some of them even think if we just put a little image of the nativity out, I'll find a little bit of happiness in my life. Amen. But an image is that, just that, an image. Amen. It represents something that's greater. Amen. Amen. And that is the Christ child, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He is what makes us complete.
Amen.
You won't find it in a holiday. You won't find it in just religion in general. You won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it in a beer joint. You won't find it in a pill bottle. Hey, you'll only find completeness and wholeness in Christ.
Amen.
Wherever he went about to people, brother Johnny, he went and asked one person. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
Amen.
I always found it funny. He didn't ask him, "Wilt thou be made half?" Do you want to be incomplete? Do you want to stay in the spot that you're in right now? Hey, he could have done without Christ if that was the case, because he was already incomplete. But Christ came to seek and save that which was lost.
Amen.
He came to make people whole, amen. And he asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
Amen.
I believe it was the man that was at the pool of Bethesda that he asked him that, if I'm not mistaken. 38 years he lay there, not able to get to the pool. Every time the angel came down and troubled the waters, amen, there was another person that always stepped in front of him and find his blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And this man would just lay there. He said, "Lord, I don't have anybody to help me into this pool."
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. Not knowing that the one that made the lame walk and the blind to see was standing there talking right with him.
Amen.
The one that everything had to bow to. Amen. The one that all disease, amen. Hey, the one that all iniquity and all troubles and trials and sorrows had to bow to. Hey, it was the one that was talking to him right there at that point in time.
Amen.
You see, his lameness didn't have no effect on Christ. Didn't bother him one bit. He said, "Take up your bed and go." And he got his bed and he walked.
Amen.
And the Pharisees began to complain, "Oh, you shouldn't carry your bed on the Sabbath day." Hey, Christ said that the Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. Hey, man, he began to say about doing good deeds on the Sabbath day, doing good deeds for his Father. And
amen.
He always said he had to be about his Father's business.
Amen.
You see, when Jesus was out there on the waves, amen, and the waves were tolling and the disciples were in the middle of the sea. Hey, they was about the same direction from both sides. They were caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Amen. And the storms were raging and the winds were blowing. Amen. We find Jesus coming walking on the water. Amen. There's an old song that says, "When the waves are over your head, they're under His feet." Amen. Hey, and He come walking on the water. Why? Because He is far above all principality and power. He made the earth. Sure enough, He could tell it what to do. Amen. He walked on the water and Peter came out to Him at another point. Amen. He was asleep in the boat. Had the disciples begin to wake Him. And He said, "Oh, you have little faith." He stretched out His hand. And He commanded the waves, "Peace, be still." They began to say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him?" I tell you what manner of man He is. He is a man who is above all principality, all power and all dominion, as we've read here. He's before all things. By Him all things consist. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word was with God. We read on down in John chapter 1. It says, "And amen, there was not anything made that was made without Him." In the beginning, God created the earth. And later on, the chapter says, "Let us make man in our own image." You see, there was more than one with God that day.
Amen.
We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We have Jesus right there that it says that everything was created by Him.
Amen.
Amen. And I've got some scripture that relates to that. Just a few popcorn scriptures here. It says in John 1:3 that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I just said that. 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God the Father, in whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see, if everything was created by Jesus Christ and through Him, then everything that was created in heaven and in earth are subject to Him.
Amen.
You know, we have what's called free will. We have the ability to choose God or to reject God.
Amen.
Amen. And because of that, there is either a reward or there is a punishment. People don't understand that. Amen. If you go out here and break the speed limit, you'll get a ticket if somebody catches you.
Amen.
The point is, sometimes we don't get caught.
Amen. Bless Him.
But God ain't like the police officer. He's always got His radar on.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to escape God's judgment. Amen. If you think you're going to, then you got another thing coming.
Amen.
Later on in Peter down there, it talks about how the world begins to scoff and they mock. And they begin to say, where is the promise of His coming? But, amen, we've heard about Christ coming back as long as the fathers have lived.
Amen.
But if you read over in Ecclesiastes, I don't remember exact verse. I think it's either at chapter 8 or chapter 11. He says, because the judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore it is fully said in the hearts of men to do evil. God doesn't do judgment right away sometimes. Sometimes He'll let it linger, amen, and give you a chance, amen, to repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
He's not slack concerning His promise concerning coming back. But He is long-suffering.
Amen.
Wanting to make sure that every sheep possible makes it to the fold. We talked about the shepherds this morning coming to seek the Christ child. I begin to think about that. You know, the shepherds came to see the good shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Not knowing that He was the one that was going to shepherd them.
Amen.
The very shepherds that came to Christ was His flock. They would become His flock.
Amen.
Amen. And we today that are assembled here in the churches nationwide that are believe in Christ and His resurrection, His death, and the power of His resurrection, amen, are part of His flock.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad to be part of that number?
Amen.
Amen. Part of the flock of God. Amen. We have a good shepherd.
Sure.
Amen. That's able to take care of us and our need.
Yeah.
He's far above all principality. He's far above all power. He's far above all illness. He's far above all financial problems. He's far above all marital problems. He's the one with the ultimate authority.
Amen.
Amen. And He's the one we need to trust and turn to. Not just once a year during Christmas. Amen. Not just once a year. Amen. And then later on we get ready for the new year and we forget about what Christ has done.
Right.
We're to trust Him with all our heart. They asked Him one day, they said, what is the greatest commandment? Trying to trip Him up. See, they had 10 on tablets of stone. But they had hundreds that weren't even written down, except for in old scrolls in the first 5 books of the Bible. Somewhere around 600 or so, there was other laws that were established. But upon the 10, everything kind of hanged. And Christ looked at him and He said, the first commandment is the greatest. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength.
Bless Him, Lord.
And He said, the second is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And He said, upon all these two, all hang all the law and the prophets. If you'll just abide by those two, amen, that's the greatest commandment. We see that in 1 John, God is love. Amen. And we see that perfect love casteth out fear. You know, there's a lot of fear. I don't know why, but it seems like this time of year there's a lot of fear and trepidation. Amen. Maybe it's the new year is coming upon them too fast and they've not prepared. They're not ready to meet the new year. I don't know what it is. But the Bible said that perfect love casteth out all fear.
Yeah.
He said in 1 Timothy 1:7, I believe it is, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power.
Amen.
And love and a sound mind.
Amen.
He told me and you when He went away, He said, you've seen the great works that I've done, but these works I've done, greater works shall you do.
Amen.
Why? Because I go to my Father.
Blessing,
why is that so significant? Because if He didn't go to His Father, then everything that God had hung His whole word upon would have been null and void.
Amen.
He's able to go to His Father to fulfill and truly say, like the sister said, it is finished.
Amen. Bless Him.
Because it is finished, because the work is completed, amen, me and you have power today.
Amen.
When He went away in Acts, He said, the power shall come upon you. Amen. He said, the Holy Ghost,
amen,
shall give you power,
amen,
to be my witnesses. Amen. He's given us the ability to spread the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5, He talks about the gospel of reconciliation. How me and you are ambassadors to the world, and we go out preaching, be reconciled to God in Christ's stead.
Amen.
What I'm trying to get you to see today, friends, is that Christ, His dominion supersedes everything.
Amen.
And so this time of year, I don't know what it is, but a lot of times this time of year we see more suicides and more all kinds of crime going on in the world. It runs rampant. I don't know why, but it seems like this is the time of year where people get the most depressed. Hey, they get the most fearful about things. Hey, man, but I tell you what, Christ to me, if we just place our trust and hope in Him, amen, we'll find our completeness, we'll find our joy, amen, we'll find our strength, amen. We are complete in Him. I'll give you a couple more scriptures and I believe I'm ready to close. Concerning Christ's dominion, where I just talked about Him, the waves and the water, Matthew 8:27 is where you'll find that. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey Him? And I just read this in Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. In 1 Peter 3:22 it says, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him.
Amen.
You see that Christ, everything that we have to worry about, we don't have to worry about.
Amen.
It's all under His feet.
Right.
Amen. At this time of the year we see the Christ child, He came to the world. He came as a babe in a manger. The greatest gift we've ever received wasn't wrapped in packages and bows. It was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. And because of that, we see that His life has grown. And we see 30-something years later, He had a ministry. Amen. Whose forerunner was John the Baptist, which we read about this morning in Sunday school. Amen. And later on, He began to heal the lame people and raise the dead and heal sick people and open the eyes of the blind. And amen. He went to the cross and He died and He took on the sins of the world. He became sin who knew no sin. Hey, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He went to the grave and in 3 days, He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and He came out of there. Amen. With victory. Amen. Sing a song, Victory in Jesus. He had the ultimate victory. And just because He's gone away some 2,000 plus years ago, the world seems to get degrade worse and worse. It seems to forget that Christ is still with us.
Amen.
He was called Emmanuel because He was God with us.
Amen.
And He was God with us, not just on the earth, but amen, He's gone. He said, I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad we can trust in His promises.
Yeah.
When He went away, He sent the Comforter. He said, you know, if I don't go away, then the Comforter cannot come.
Amen.
Why is it important that the Comforter comes? Because through the Comforter, He can take up residence in our hearts.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He don't have to be at just one place.
Amen.
He can be across the whole world. God came to the world. Amen. He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth Him should not perish,
amen,
but have everlasting life. That whosoever includes the whole world.
Amen.
And He couldn't do that without the ability of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And He's still with us today. His power has not waned.
Right.
His power has not diminished, has not decreased.
Amen.
He said, even when the whole world is gone, not one jot or tittle shall be removed from this book.
Right.
This is the ultimate authority. This is what will stand the test of time.
Amen.
Hey, today's newspaper, the news changes just like that.
Amen.
The stock market changes just like that. Our government changes just like that. But there's one thing you can count on, friends, and that is the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, I am God, and I change it not. God don't change, amen. You can believe it and you can put your faith in Christ because He does not change. Amen. He is going to fulfill that which He said He would do because He has all authority over all principalities, powers, dominions, governments, rulers, diseases, everything you can think of. You can put your trust in Christ this season and towards the new year because He's still in charge.
Amen.
As we all stand.